Monday, May 31st, our last day at the ranch. Much to do. Tony and Matiana arrived from Santa Fe about 10:30. I asked them to ride around over the ranch with me and Pat Taylor. I wanted to talk more plans with him. Harvesting bluebonnet seeds, Indian blanket seeds from the Scharnhorst, sprinkling them up and down the sides of the runway so that they would be a carpet of wildflowers when we tax it in from Washington some spring day next year, some other year. Putting in dramatic clusters of yuccas at the stone entrance where you turn off the old highway into the LBJ ranch. Perhaps at the turn where the road branches to go down to Oriole's or up to our house. And maybe a group of flowering trees in the little curve of the road there. Native, of course. Retama, redbud. I've always wanted a long alley of blooming trees, but don't have the eye to know where they should be. We went to the birthplace house. I must find a new name for that. It sounds so pompous. The planting looks very small, and there are washes, but the pecan trees are growing beautifully, and the bluebonnets did begin. We need a walkway. Tony and Matiana were charmed. Every time I come, Lucia has added something. This time a quilt done by great-grandmother George Washington Baines, over 100 years old. Precious, fragile, it must be protected in cellophane. We drove on into Johnson City, Pat, Matiana, and I, and met Roy White there at the Sam Johnson house. Public hours had begun. There were numerous greetings, requests for pictures. We did it all, graciously, I hope, but quickly. We discussed the alternate plans for pathways. Lyndon, with an unerring eye, said, "Don't just have cement. Anybody can have cement. It looks so common. Have some kind of stone, like what we have around here." And there it was before our eyes. Obviously, the stone that the foundation of the house is made out of, and the well itself. So indigenous, so much at home. But this we've learned, it must be laid on a foundation of cement, because from now on, we are building for heavy traffic, and probably for a long time. This is the third week that the house has been open. The smallest crowd a day has been 71. The largest, about 397. Tomorrow we learn from that is to build strong. We decided there must be a flagstone terrace around the well. That is where everybody goes to take pictures. And from Jesse's walkway, there must be a little spur leading across the grass to it. And then from the back door, a fairly sizable little apron, so that when a busload of people usher out the back door, there's a bit of a place to stand on in mass. And then a walkway leading out with a Y to the well and a gently sloping curve through the gate on the west side. I talked to Pat about my plans for wildflower seeds across the south end, where it will remain rather natural. I know it will be ill-kept and ragged a bit until it can be mowed in June. But how lovely it could be in March, April, May, with bluebonnets, paintbrush, Indian blanket, wine cups, wild phlox, verbena, 25 even more varieties within three strides. He's had 3 years of college studying gardening, landscape work, park administration, and according to Mr. Urbanovsky, is a country boy not afraid of work, can handle the end of a shovel as well as the end of a pencil. Yesterday I showed him the Martin house, and that is where he will live. The Davises will feed him. We'd had a nice talk with Dale Malachek. In fact, he'd spent the night with Dale and Jewel so that he could be here today for further talks. And then we drove by the bank. A.W. had gone into Austin for a park meeting. Might last all day, his secretary said. I asked Ernest to come out and talk with us, and tactfully, I hoped, unroll the attractive plans Mr. Myrick had drawn for the planting around the bank. An oval drive-in to the window, and in the little space in between the drive, a live oak tree, some ground planting, a little ivy along the walls of the bank. Something native and probably flowering at the south end. To screen what I believe will be air conditioning equipment. Large tubs of greenery, about four, across the north front of the bank. and then, most delightfully, at the northwest corner, a live oak to soften the straight, stiff lines. Ernest couldn't have cared less. Lyndon will be my best ally. I hope we can win over A.W. It could make the difference between functional and charming. So far, the bank's really delightful. And then I showed him what I hope to be my gift, or maybe Lindbergh and my gift, to Johnson City. The scrubby, ragged hackberries lined up in the middle of the broad street between the bank and the courthouse. I'd love to take them out and replace them with live oaks in a somewhat larger oval-shaped area, sand-filled for drainage, maybe with pink granite chipping or blocks atop the sand. Pat Taylor thought it was a good idea and they would grow. Linda Bird is willing to use part of her check from Look for that purpose. And I'd put in the $50 Lyndon gave me for Mother's Day and whatever else it took as a gift to Johnson City, maybe in honor of Lyndon's mother and daddy. Lyndon joined me, that very remarkable man, and outlined his plans for a small city park bounded by the bank property, the post office and hardware, and going on out the main highway street. Oh yes, and the attractive old jail would be one boundary. I contributed the idea of a cedar rail fence around it, such as we have at the Sam Johnson house. There are nice trees there. Maybe the four old men who play dominoes and who go on and on for decades, since my earliest memory, would move their game from Casparis's to the park. That could be native shrubs, some benches, a place to hold political meetings when they needed to be outdoors. It would be something to be proud of. In case Johnson City grows, we were back at the ranch for lunch about 1:30, taking Roy White with us and discussing a walkway at the birthplace house, a fan-shaped exit from the west entrance at the main house. Problem of parking there. It's a regular mud hole by the gate now. It does dreadful things to the porch and the rugs. I learned the shocking news that my longtime tree man, Mr. Erb, had been killed in an automobile accident a week or so before. He just finished working on the trees at the main ranch in the graveyard. About 4 o'clock, we helicoptered over to the Haywood, taking Tony and Martiana, and went boating. Lyndon rode in the small boat, taking Beagle, and no doubt giving a near heart attack to the Secret Service, because he roared up and down the lake, himself at the wheel, very fast, with Beagle barking at us as though he would eat us up, and Lyndon saying, "Sick 'em, Beagle, sick 'em." The great bush, 10 feet high, at the corner of the Haywood house, was covered with gardenias. Martiana and I put one in our hair. After 2 gray days, Saturday and Sunday, Monday was beautiful, and we couldn't bear to leave, so we put off the time until 9 o'clock. I made arrangements for Linda's little friend, Mary Nell Van Fleet, to join us and ride back with us. We boated down to Mary Margaret's house, and then I took a good long walk. The new houses going up every time we returned. All of the people were out working in their yards, and I spoke to everybody as we passed. But they pay less attention to us there than if we were someplace away from home, which is pleasant. Dear Melvin Winters had promised to give us a fish dinner, so we helicoptered into his house in Johnson City and sat out in his lovely backyard, San Augustine grass like a lush carpet, brick-paved patio, Melvin himself frying the fish, and such a dinner fit for a king. Mary Ellen told us, Nita never would have, that their granddaughter, Carol, had won the statewide contest in prose reading. I love for people to be thrilled about my children, and so I congratulated them enthusiastically, and then Nita did talk about it. She used the expression, "Nobody from here ever won anything before." Well, maybe. At least I can think of one other. They had a friend from El Paso, Mr. Guerra, Mexican. American now, of course. He remarked that he'd learned to speak Spanish before he learned English. His attractive little son, who didn't look in the least Mexican, said, and rather proudly, that he didn't know a word of Spanish. I thought it was sad. I sat at the table with the Guerra's father and son, and Mary Ellen. Mr. Guerra was refreshingly charming. He said, "I have a lump in my throat ever since I met the president."
But he is just a man like other men.
Isn't he? Mary Ellen had been talking to me about her ambition to send Will off to school before he is through with high school. Probably St. Stephen's. Then Harvard for law. Then, she thinks, even to Oxford. I'm proud of her for wanting it. I hope she wins. She has obstacles, a selling job to do. But I'm with her, at least as far as Harvard, and I don't put it past her. She has indeed grown with the years I've known her. There are now 15 or more. Now we savor every day here. For the first time, I'm beginning to believe that Lyndon could retire and be happy. Maybe teach a little, be interested in the Johnson Library if it comes into being. Ranch, bank, ride over country endlessly, especially if the sun is shining and there's grass and cattle to see. And maybe build the Johnson City Park. That'll always be interest for his ravening energy. It was 9 o'clock when we reached Austin. Bergstrom entered Air Force One and set off for Washington. After an hour of talk with staff, Lyndon went promptly to sleep, a gift from God, and I lay rather rigidly in the dark, but resting. We were home in bed by 2 o'clock.